Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let me start by saying that with somewhere in the vicinity of 41,000 Christian denominations around the world, what do you think is the most important kind of Christian? If you really think about it, there are different answers. But my personal conviction in answering that question is, given the state of the church and given the state of our nation, the most important kind of Christian is the one who is actually making a positive difference. Why do I say that? I say that because there's a bottom line in answering this question, and that is the health of our nation cannot be divorced from the health of the church any more than the health of a tree can be divorced from its roots. And with the American church now in decline, and the Christian worldview under increasing assault by hostile secularists and atheists, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we'll either take a stand and make a difference, or future generations are going to reap the bitter harvest of our apathy, indifference, and inaction. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is William, listening in Virginia on the web. Hi, William.
Hey, Hank, how you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing well.
I just want to say, man, I've been listening for a long time, back when Doctor was in Melodyland, Cal, back in the 70s, 80s.
Oh, wow.
I'm just excited, man. Anyhow, let me get my breath, because this is a blessing for me. My first question is a guy named Tom Bradford, who has a website. He specializes in Old Testament theology. Sounds pretty good. I don't know if you heard him or not. Why don't you twist on his teachings if you're familiar with him?
Yeah, I wouldn't be very appreciative of what he's teaching if this is the Tom Bradford Seed of Abraham Fellowship.
That's him, yes.
Yeah, because you know he has his roots in the Christian Hebrew Roots movement. He embraces the Old Testament commandments, the holy days, the appointed times, and so forth. And I think one of the greatest snares is a failure to recognize that the types and shadows have been fulfilled. And to know about Old Testament types and shadows is a blessing. But when you focus on them as something that must be adhered to today, then you are misplacing the most fantastic of all realities, and that is Jesus fulfills the types and shadows. So, for example, do we have to keep civil and ceremonial laws? No. They're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Do we have to eat certain foods because they were part of a Mosaic theocratic system? No. Remember what Jesus said in the New Testament. It's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus declared all foods clean. So the types and shadows have a fulfillment. I love the story in Acts chapter 10 where Peter is shown a vision of clean and unclean food. And he's shown that vision three times. And then after the third time, he gets a message, don't call unclean what I have called clean. And of course, the whole import of this was to show Peter that he should go to Cornelius, who Peter thought was unclean. And so we have the mystery of the gospel exemplified. God doesn't have any favorites, but he chooses people from every language and land and people that love and serve him. So the idea of having to keep the Sabbath and all of these kinds of things, I think, are misguided ideas because the real issue is the resurrection. and we are worshiping the fact that we in Christ have our Sabbath rest. So I wouldn't be too keen on his teachings overall.
I'm telling you, you nailed it. And obviously, whoever you got on your staff and yourself had to spend a lot of time because, I mean, this cat's all over the place. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, hours and hours of commentary. And I just appreciate your diligence. One other question, associated related churches. I go to a place where the new concept, I guess it is where you have one church, multiple locations, and your locations may be in a theater somewhere until you find a place. We do the internet, these sorts of things. I totally get the whole, you got to go to church, you got to be there amongst the brethren, but at the same time, I don't know if they just cater to millennials or whatever. One church, multiple locations, video and a big screen. Give me some feedback.
Yeah, I think what's important, William, and I think you're asking a very significant question, is that people are worshiping God, that they're experiencing oneness, and that they're being equipped to go out and impact the world. And within the context of worship, we partake in community communion. And so oftentimes these kinds of things are relegated to a mere tradition that's carried out once in a while. And I think, therefore, the church is losing the main and the plain thing so often. They're losing the worship. They're going there for a personal experience. They're losing the oneness, and they're not being equipped. So often what you can have, not in every case, but a lot of times what you have is a personality cult. You have a very popular preacher. They gather a lot of people, and if you can do it in one place, you can do it in other places, and so you kind of spread your fame, but you're neglecting the real mission of the church. So my basic point is to say, as long as the real mission of the church is not neglected, well, great, fantastic to have lots of people and lots of locations, but don't neglect the main and the plain thing.
And I tell you, nailed it, bro. Love you. I'm going to listen to you to I see your face in the kingdom, my friend.
Thank you, man. Thanks for your call and for your enthusiasm. Elizabeth next in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi.
Hi. Actually, that last caller just alluded on a couple of things that I needed to ask. That was quite helpful. But,
oh, good.
My call may be a little emotional, so I'm going to try to keep it together. But I grew up, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. And at 15, one of the elders said that I was smoking. I've never smoked in my whole entire life, and I refused to go before the elders and say that I did something I didn't do. And therefore, I was disfellowshipped. I am 53 now. I have two sisters, two brothers, and one that recently died. And when he died, he was not a Jehovah's Witness, had never been. And my mother pretty much implemented the whole service as through the Kingdom Hall. But regardless, she's close to death, and my mother doesn't talk to me. My one sister has called and apologized to me recently for what she's done to me, shunning me through the years, but I still don't have my mother, and it's painful. It's painful. Mm. And I have thought on many occasions to go back to the Kingdom Hall and get myself reinstated just simply, and it would be false on my part, just simply to have that relationship with my mother. And I will tell you what that gentleman was talking about. Churches are hard for me because I don't fill up people here, fellowship, the big churches don't do it for me. I need that connection, and quite frankly, you, and I listen to Alistair Begg a lot because I think you're great teachers. So you help me to teach me what I've all to take away the junk that was always taught. Mm-hmm. So having said that, I do go to church, but I don't feel comfortable. But what does it do to my faith that I feel like I have now by reading and people like you teaching? What does it do to me if I make that false move simply for emotional aspects of wanting my mother to be a part of my life before she died?
Yeah, I think it's really important to do everything you can to have an opportunity to reunify with your mother and be a witness to her. But I don't think you want to do it at the cost of denying who Jesus Christ is. And that is precisely what the Watchtower organization does. I know you know this better than anyone else, but what you end up having is a denial of the God who has revealed himself to us in the pages of Scripture. So I would let your mother know how much you love her. I would do everything that you possibly could to reconcile that relationship. But if she shuns you because you're not a Jehovah's Witness, I don't think that you want to embrace false doctrine in order to overcome that barrier. I think that what in the meantime you can do is pray for your mother. Pray that God will bring people and circumstances into her life so that she comes to a true valuation of things. And ultimately, prayer is firing the winning shot. I know I'll pray for you. In fact, I only have a few seconds, but Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray for the reconciliation of Elizabeth and her mother. I pray most of all that her mother may come to a true valuation of things and embrace Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Scripture, as her Savior and her Lord. We pray this not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy, and a word of appreciation for all of those standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I can tell you with all integrity that your support, prayerfully and financially, is making a difference around the globe. We're deeply appreciative for what you do. We couldn't do what we do without you. You are a legitimate team member with us. Again, my deepest gratitude for those who want to join the monthly CRI support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ann in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. I have a college-age son who has attended a Christian university and has been exposed to the little video Zeitgeist, which I'm sure you're really familiar with. And that has led to a lot of discussion and basically a newfound assertion that religion is basically a tool used to control the masses, and that really there's no way that we can know that the God of Christianity is the one true God, and that all religions are basically the same, but packaged just a little bit different. And so I am just looking for a resource or a book that I may be able to read and may be able to give to him to read, because it's just brought up a lot of other things, you know, like, well, if our God is the true God and he knows what you're going to choose and what you're going to believe, then really, what's the point of anybody praying, doing? I mean, we've just had, you can understand probably where all of the conversations have went. So I'm just kind of looking for your advice on being able to discuss this topic.
Yeah, and I think what's important is to recognize that this is a systemic problem within our culture. You look at, of the 3.7 million U.S. evangelicals who are 18 to 29 years old, 2.6 million are going to leave the faith at some point between their 18th and 29th birthday. And even more alarming is the fact that the vast majority of them are never going to return. So we are losing our young people, and oftentimes it is because they're not getting legitimate answers to their questions. And before I give you a little help and direction, let me say that this is exactly where I was. I didn't get substantial answers to my questions, and as a result of that, until I was 29 years of age, I rejected the God of the Bible, I rejected Christianity, and I embraced atheism. But then I was challenged to look at the evidences, and that's become the heartbeat of my ministry, apologetics, a defense of the faith. So let me give you just three quick things and then a recommendation with respect to a book. I mean, I think you have to simplify things. The first thing is the issue of origins. If your son, you or I, or anyone else looks around the universe, we see irreducible complexity. We see, for example, a sun, a moon, stars. And common sense lets us know that if there is a sun, there has to be a sun maker, just as if there is a basketball, there has to be a basketball maker. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and therefore we have the light of creation as an ever bright testimony to the fact that there is a God. Secondly, we have the evidence that the God who created the universe condescended to cloak himself in time and space. And that evidence really comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can look at the four-part argument that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That evidence is so strong that it turned a whole empire upside down. So there's compelling evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that separates Christianity from all other religious systems, because only in Christianity do you have a resurrected Savior. And thirdly, you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And the Bible that's divine as opposed to merely human in origin isn't a Bible that teaches that everything is fatalistically determined. Rather, it teaches that what we do makes a difference for all eternity. And the fact that God knows what we will do does not mean that our choices are fatalistically determined. The only place where choices are fatalistically determined is in the atheistic worldview. Because think about it, if all you are is molecules in motion, if all you are is brain chemistry and genetics, then in that material world, you have no choice whatsoever. You're fatalistically determined by your genetics. So the very thing that he's embracing is something that is untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. Not the God idea, but the atheist idea that says that nothing creates everything, life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces morals. Now, in terms of a book, we have a book that I think is phenomenal. It's titled How to Be an Atheist, Why Many Skeptics Aren't Skeptical Enough. And what this book does is it really goes against the grain of atheism. Atheists talk a lot about the importance of skepticism, but the truth is they're not nearly skeptical enough. And while atheists champion the importance of a critical stance towards religion, they often fail to take that same stance towards their own idea. And that double standard results in a grandiose claim about the certainty of their unbelief, which is logically inconsistent at best and intellectually dishonest at worst. So you have to turn the atheist skepticism around on their own naturalistic worldview. And that's precisely what this book does. And so it's right. A fantastic resource. From my own writings, I wrote three books that came out of my own skepticism. The first is a book that deals with the issue of origins, and it's called The Farce of Evolution. The second is a book that deals with the resurrection. It's called Resurrection. And the third is a book called Has God Spoken? And what that book does is it demonstrates that the Bible is the infallible word of God. But it also answers an attendant question. If God has spoken, what has God said? And that leads to what's really important, and that is, how do you read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended? Many people disbelieve the Bible because they don't know how to read the Bible rightly. And so they fall for what's in the secular community. You know, you have the pundits that take potshots at the Bible, but they do so because they don't understand how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Right. Well, I think those are all really good resources for me to use, and we've had so much discussion over the last year. I just really appreciate your input, and I'll get these resources, and I know that it's going to make a huge difference in us being able to move forward and having really good discussion on these topics. So thank you so much for all of your time and everything you do. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Ann, and don't forget the love of a mother. That's the most powerful factor in the process. Back to the phone lines, Chris, listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Chris.
Hey. Well, I know my question is pretty simple. I was just wondering, people die every day. How come we don't grieve for the people that we don't know? And does that make us selfish? Because we don't.
Well, you ask a very profound and good question. We should grieve for a lost and searching world. But more than grieve, we ought to be active in using our life as a light, and we should be salt as well. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then he said, you're the light of the world, and you don't put a light under a bushel. So we need to make our lives matter. We need to use our time and our energy to worship God, to love him, but also to love our neighbor as ourself. And that means that we have been given bread, and we want to give bread and a cup of water to a broken world. Share the gospel that redeems and provides life that is life indeed.
Makes sense. Total sense.
Yeah, I think your question is so profound, Chris, because I think oftentimes we don't grieve enough for a broken world. I hear people that say they are looking forward to Jesus Christ appearing a second time. And I think that's worthy to say on the one hand. But on the other hand, I so often pray, Lord, help us to be faithful and fruitful. There are so many that still have not heard the gospel. Give us a chance to be faithful, because so often we're unfaithful. So, you know, we want our lives to make a difference for eternity, recognizing that what we do now counts, and that everyone is going to spend an eternity either separated from the love, grace, and goodness of God, or united with the one who knit them together in their mother's womb. And so, again, you're putting your finger on something very dynamic and important. And oftentimes, we live in a selfish, consumeristic Christian kind of culture where we're thinking about what Christ can do for me as opposed to what we can do through Christ for a broken world.
Correct. And that's the whole premise of being humble and being understanding. And you're absolutely right. Lead by example. Understand. Thank you very much.
You got it, Chris. Appreciate your call. We're flat out of time. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.